Well, we are at the end of our series on the Apostles' Creed. I just remembered, Kyle, I forgot to get my clicker, so I'll just give you a wave when you need to switch it. I think you'll get it, though. We're at the end of our series on the Apostles' Creed, week 11 of our 11-week series. We started this on January 10, and we've been working through this. The first thing we looked at was, I believe in God the Father. We just talked about, we just recited the Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. As I was working on this week, I actually had two sermons written, and I had written kind of going through every one of these things, reminding us of what we had said, each of them. And I said, no, I didn't, so I deleted that one. So this is my second go-around at it, so hopefully that works. So I'm not going to go and rehash every sermon that we had, just a reminder as we've been looking at it, of who God is. And then we looked at the incarnation. We looked at Jesus, God the Son, our Lord, who was a suffering servant. And we looked at what it is to be God and man, and that he suffered. We celebrated the resurrection, and we looked at the resurrection a few weeks ago, the Sunday after our good friend Howie passed. And we held on to the hope of the resurrection, which we celebrate this morning. We looked at the ascension, and we often talk about the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus, and then there's the ascension. But the ascension is very much a part of who God is and our faith in that God reigns and he sits at the right hand of God the Father. And we're looking forward to Jesus' return. Then we looked at God the Holy Spirit. God in us, dwelling in us, to the Christian life now, and what does it look like to be the body of believers? Last week we looked at our Christian life eternal. This morning we look at the Amen. We let the message of the Apostles' Creed, the truth of it, we can let it flow easily off our lips. Hopefully as we recite it, we can let it flow easily out of our memory as we've been memorizing it. But if we let it settle in, it reorients our mind, it reorients our heart, it reorients our will, because it forms our soul. The knowledge of the truth of what we profess, which we haven't even begun to dig to the depths of, as we live out our faith, transforms our intellect, our emotions, our actions. If we hold on to the truths that we celebrate this morning, that we celebrate the resurrection, that should change us. Think of that for a moment, the resurrection morning, where the women came to the tomb. And we so quickly jump to the hope and the joy of the resurrection, but for a moment just sit there with those women in their grief. They came to the tomb on Easter Sunday morning, expecting what any of us would have expected if we went to a tomb of someone we loved 3 days later. They expected somebody who was dead. They expected to go to the tomb in their grief, in their sorrow. They expected to go to the tomb with questions. What if? Why is this life cut so short? Why the injustice of a righteous man dying? They went to the tomb to sit in their grief, to deal with loss on so many levels. And they hear the angel say, he is not here, he is risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. First, there was confusion. Then, like all of us, the wheels of our minds start racing, start replaying memories and start replaying conversations I'm sure they had with Jesus. And then, all of a sudden, it dawned on them like the rising sun on Easter morning. Oh, he's risen. And their reaction was, okay, that's cool. I'm going home. Their reaction was, they now have hope in a hopeless situation. Their reaction was, we now have an understanding of what Jesus was talking about. Everything is different for all of eternity because of this moment in time where these women were at the empty tomb and the angel said, he is risen. Everything is different. For us too, because of the resurrection, everything is different. In this past year, it should be the hope of the resurrection that gave us the frame of reference, that gave us the foundation of our hope in Christ Jesus as we face this crazy virus thing for a year. I was just thinking about that as we were sitting here. Last Easter, we were on Zoom. I am so glad to be with you all this morning. But in this last year, it should have been the hope of the resurrection that was our foundation, not the fear of a virus or the trepidation to go anywhere. It's the hope that we have that Jesus conquered death that gives us the assurance that we belong in life and in death to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. It's because of the resurrection that we have hope when we suffer or when loved ones suffer, when there is an uncertainty of a diagnosis. When there's answers we want questions to, but we don't get them. When we have things in our past we struggle with, and we're not quite sure how to deal with. When we struggle with health or relationship issues, we do so with the underlying principle, the standard, or the foundation of the resurrection. We look at the resurrection and the power of the resurrection, it changes everything. If we look at these phrases that we say when we recite the Apostles' Creed, it can reorient our mind and reorient our heart and reorient our will. It forms our soul, knowing the truth of what we profess when we say, I believe. And so we get to the amen. Really, it's just a nice thing to wrap up at the end, right? We end the creed and we say, amen. Kind of like, you can't just, I believe in the resurrection of the body of life everlasting, and just leave it hanging there. So you got to say amen to just kind of wrap it up, right? No, of course not. We end with amen, not because it gives a fitting ending, but because it ties it together in a way that we'll look at in just a minute. Though we barely understand the depths of the creed, though we fully can't mind the mystery of the gospel, we say amen in a sense to sign our name on the bottom of this, to repeat for a moment saying, I believe. We agree to it. We agree to the creation of the Almighty God, the incarnation, the virgin birth, Jesus suffering to the cross, to the resurrection, to the ascension, to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, to being called to be a community of people together, and to look forward to the day that Christ returns, to which we say amen, because we agree that this is what we believe. And in a sense, in a real sense, because we are one with Christ, we are participating in the story with the triune God. And so we say amen. It has much more of a meaning than any of us suppose, because we get to the end of, we hear amen, and we understand that, what were you taught? Amen means, so be it, right? It comes from the Hebrew word amen, which has been very properly conveyed, not into English, but into every language in this world. If you've ever sitting down or had the opportunity to pray with people from another language, you may not understand anything they have to say, and they're praying to God, and you may not understand, but you feel, because of the Holy Spirit, they're praying, and you feel a kinship. But the one word that you understand is when they get to the end, they say, amen. And it's not just a signal, okay, you can open your eyes. It's a saying that says, I agree. Amen signifies true and faithful and certain. More than just a vote, all in favor say aye. It's aligning our prayer, it's aligning our life with God. It really is, in saying amen, an act of submission to the Almighty God and to the greatness of God. So when we say amen, so be it, truly. We're not asking, may my will be done. May my desires be fulfilled. We are asking, may your will be done. Submitting ourselves to the greatness and the goodness of God. I ask you, who else would you want to submit your life to? Who else would you want to call Lord of your life? Would it want to be yourself? You want to call yourself Lord? Try that for a while and see how that works for you. You want to call somebody else Lord and have somebody else define your life for you and try to guide your life for you? I personally would rather have the one who died and rose again and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, be my Lord. The one who created all things and designed our lives and tells us this is how you should live, to experience the fullness of God fully in this world that I created, that's the one I would choose to follow. We choose in saying amen to give up living for ourselves and to live for him. We say amen to the amen. Jesus is the amen. In Revelation, that's the name that Jesus has in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. To the angel in the church of Laodicea, right? These are the words of the amen. The faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. Jesus is the amen. He is the assurance that all God's promises are true and certain. He is the one who rules. He is the Son of God and the Son of Man, the one who is trustworthy and true. When Jesus introduces his teaching in the Gospels, what does he say to people? He says, truly I say to you, or amen I say to you, lego, amen lego humen, if you want to know a mispronunciation of the Greek, truly I say to you, amen I say to you. 70 times in the Gospels it is recorded that Jesus says, amen I say to you. It's not just for emphasis to make us to pay attention, like, you know, like an exclamation point before his teaching. It's a key teaching about Jesus himself. The Old Testament prophets, when they would teach or bring the word of God, they would say, this is what the Lord says, or this is what the Lord Almighty says, or in the Old King James, thus saith the Lord. Somehow that is just a little more powerful than this is what the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Paul in the New Testament writes, I received a revelation from heaven, but Jesus says, amen, I say to you. Appealing to his own authority, he is stating, because I am God, I say to you. Jesus is the amen. The revelation of God, Emmanuel, God with us, the faithful and true witness of all these things that we profess in the creed. And so when we say amen at the end, it's not just closing it up nicely. It's a declaration of praise, a declaration of confession that Jesus is the amen. Living our life with Jesus, living with the truth that we confess in the creed, it's not about being religious. It's not about keeping up all the rules. It's being in a relationship. We are deadly mistaken if we believe that our religiosity and our diligent rule-keeping are what we're being rewarded for. Christianity and eternal life is not a diploma garnered after years of training, of education. It does not require a series of projects or some memory work or an internship or having marketable skills in the kingdom. We don't graduate from our preparation for the eternity of our lives. Our life in Christ is knowing and experiencing God both now and forever. That's the power of the resurrection. It's through the death and the resurrection of and the ascension that we have a relationship with the triune God. We started this series with the words, I believe. We start the Apostles' Creed saying, I believe. As followers of Jesus, as those who remember the cross, who celebrate the resurrection, who live with the assurance and the hope of his ascension and the hope of his second coming, we can say with confidence and in questions. We can say with hope and in lament. We can say with full assurance and with doubt, I believe. Because our belief is not based on our assuredness. Our belief is not based on making sure we have everything figured out. Our belief in saying, I believe, is based on the one in whom we profess. Our amen to the Apostles' Creed is because Jesus is the amen. And in the end, we join our voices with that of the communion of the saints and with Jesus' voice himself. And all God's people say, amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we give you thanks and praise for the grace that we have in Christ Jesus. For the truth that those who have gone before us in the kingdom of God here on earth have put these words together over 100 years that we say together with communion of saints throughout the world today, I believe. God, we praise you this morning for that belief. We praise you, Lord God, for the gift of grace and the power of the resurrection. And we all say, amen.